and welcome to episode 14 of Secret Grasp. Secret Grasp is a podcast all about the mysterious and difficult to explain aspects of life. We cover topics relating to the paranormal, occult, conspiracy theories, urban legends, and other strange occurrences. You can find us on all of the major podcasting apps. And if you're watching the YouTube video, you can probably see previously I just had a sock on my Blue Snowball microphone and using that as a windscreen, and I was using it on the default stand, but now I've actually got a fancy new microphone arm for my microphone, so that's pretty sweet. So I don't look like I'm talking into a sock the whole episode. It's my birthday month, so I thought I would splurge and buy a cheap $30 Amazon microphone arm and windscreen for my microphone, so that's pretty cool. Getting fancy. Now I just need some kind of background back here. I do have a green screen, so maybe I'll just put like a fancy green screen background on. But anyways, today we're going to be talking about sea monsters and lake monsters. So sea monsters are beings from folklore believed to dwell in the sea and often imagined to be of immense size. Marine monsters can take many forms, including sea dragons, sea serpents, or tentacled beasts. They can be slimy and scaly, and they're often pictured threatening ships or spouting jets of water. The definition of a sea monster is subjective, and furthermore, some of the sea monsters from historical accounts might have actually been based on scientifically accepted creatures. For example, people might have just miscited whales or different types of giant and colossal squid. And what's interesting, though, is sea monster accounts are found in virtually all cultures that have contact with the sea. So basically, if you are out there on a boat long enough, eventually you're going to have sea monster stories in your culture. And some interesting facts. We've actually explored less than 5% of all of the world's oceans, although I think that's a little bit misleading because that also includes like a huge depth in between the bottom and the top that nothing is really going to live in, I wouldn't imagine. I feel like most of the life in the ocean is concentrated in the top where the sun can get to, and then there's like a huge dark area, and then at the bottom of the ocean with like those volcanic vents and stuff, there's some more life down there. But yeah, 5% of the world's oceans is explored, and more people have stepped foot on the moon than the bottom of the ocean. And there are scientific expeditions that send submersibles down to look at the bottom of the ocean and stuff, and new species are discovered on almost every single submersible dive. So we could talk about some real lake monsters and sea monsters. So first up, there's the giant squid. You've probably heard about this one. Basically, people used to think that they were just a legend until they started washing up on beaches and stuff. So the giant squid can be 12 to 13 meters long, which is 39 to 43 feet. That's for the females, and the males are a little bit larger. They're about 10 meters or 33 feet. Another real sea monster is the coelacanth, and it's a big fish. I don't know how to describe it. It's like a big carp, basically. It's like a carp mixed with a dinosaur is how I would describe it. And that was formerly thought to be extinct until one was caught in the 1990s. I think there's been like a second and third one caught since then even. Then we can talk about, let's see, we got vampire squids. So these are real. It's a squid that just looks super scary, basically. It's got red eyes. It's got like a cloak of webbing connected to all of its arms. And its Latin name, Vampirithius Infernalis, literally means vampire squid from hell, which is probably the most badass Latin name for an animal out there. Even things like the platypus in Australia, at first people didn't really believe that the platypus was real, even when they had physical samples that they brought back, or obviously pictures they didn't trust, but even when they had real ones, people thought it was like multiple animals sewed together or something like that. And then we've got some animals that used to be real that are probably extinct. So this is like the megalodon. This is basically a giant shark, and A megalodon tooth is basically the size of your hand, one tooth, as opposed to, I'd say, a shark tooth. If you have like a shark tooth necklace or something, it's probably like to the first knuckle of one of your fingers. So that's like a huge difference. So it's probably like at least, I don't know the exact size, but probably like 10 times the size of a normal shark. Then we've got plesiosaurs, which is an extinct dinosaur. And lots of sea monsters seem to resemble plesiosaurs, which is kind of an interesting coincidence. It could be like the coelacanth that I don't know if it's pronounced coelacanth or coelacinth, but yeah, it could be like that, where we just haven't found a living example yet. But the thing is, the larger a creature is, the more it has to eat. So then it's almost like the more likely you would see it, because it would be in areas where there's tons of fish and stuff around. So yeah, the chances of a megalodon existing are very slim, just because of the sheer volume of fish and stuff that it would have to eat every day to keep itself alive. There's been a couple of hoaxes of sea monsters too. One that comes to mind is the Fiji mermaid. I think I've actually seen this there's like a Ripley's Believe It or Not museum in Niagara Falls. I think they have this on display there. It's basically a sideshow creation for like a circus and stuff, just to bring people into like a freak show kind of thing. And it consisted of the top half of a monkey and the lower half of a fish. So like I said, how people thought the platypus was different animals sewn together, this was actually the case for this one. Then we got a whole bunch of sea monsters of legend that aren't really confirmed. One is called the Afanc. This comes from Welsh mythology, so I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. This is a lake monster who's sort of looks like a crocodile, a beaver, or a dwarf all mixed together, and sometimes it's said to be a demon. Another one is called, I'm also not going to be able to pronounce this, probably most of these I'm not going to pronounce right now. This one is called Aspidolichialone. I don't even know. I'm not even going to try. Aspicillone. I don't know. That's like the Italian pronunciation. This is basically, anyways, what it is. It's a gargantuan whale or a sea turtle that tricks sailors into landing on its back and it drowns them. It's also been called the devil whale. That's a much easier pronunciation. So basically, it's a whale so big that it can like flip on its side or its back, and it resembles an island. So it'll sit like that for a few hours, and a ship will come up, and then sailors will like get on the back, and then it either goes under or it flips on them and just drowns them. Is that realistic to happen? I don't know. Because if you're that big, is it even worth that much effort to drown sailors? And how often are you coming across sailors that you like develop this evolutionary advantage? I feel like you could use it to drown seagulls and stuff out at sea, but that's pretty much it. I don't know. Okay, the next one is not an actual creature, but it's like an evidence of possible sea monsters. And it's referred to as the bloop. This is a mysterious, extremely powerful, ultra-low-frequency sound that was detected by NOAA, which I think is National blah, 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 Ocean something, probably. Nobody to this day really knows what it came from, so it's obviously probably a monster then. The bloop, so in like 2012, they speculated that it originated from a marine animal, but then they decided that it's probably more consistent with the sound generated via non-tectonic cryoseisms originating from glacial movements such as ice calving or through seabed gouging ice. So basically, they think it's what are those things called? Icebergs, basically. Either chunks falling off of icebergs into the water or icebergs dragging along the bottom of the water. And we've got basically a whole category of sea monsters that are the sea serpents or sea dragons. The most obvious one is Nessie, or the Loch Ness Monster, which is in Loch Ness, Scotland. You've probably heard about that one before. There's one called Champ. This is the name given to a legendary lake monster that supposedly resides in Lake Champlain, which is located on the Vermont-New York-Canadian border. There's one in Chesapeake Bay named Chessie. He's very similar to Nessie, but they just call it Chessie because it lives there. There's a sea monster supposedly living in the Okanagan Lake in British Columbia called Ogopogo, which is a pretty cool, repetitive name. Probably has like some Native American story behind where it got that name. But that one's been around since the 19th century. People have been reporting it. What's interesting about Ogopogo is that people says it has a beautiful singing voice. I don't know what they really mean by that. If it sings like a human or if it just has like an interesting noise. Because I would say like whales have beautiful singing voices too. So I don't know. I don't know what a whale would sound like out of the water though. If it would be able to project its voice. Or is that like when they open their mouth? I think like dolphins, you can hear them kind of out of the water, right? They're like, eh. I wonder if a whale can do that. I don't know. Next one up, I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of again. It's called Mokele Membe. And this is basically a dinosaur. Its name means one who stops the flow of water. So basically it's a dinosaur so big that it can just sit in a river and stop the river, it sounds like. And it's water dwelling, and it supposedly lives in the Congo River Basin in the Congo in Africa. Sometimes it's described as a living creature, and other times they refer to it as if it's just a spirit or something. Those that have heard it or that allegedly saw it describe it as a large quadrupedal herbivore with smooth skin, a long neck, and a single tooth, sometimes said to be a horn. So that's interesting. So is it a tooth or is it a horn? If it's pointing down, is it still a horn? I don't know. But anyways, so this Mokele Membe thing basically sounds like a big brachiosaurus, like a dinosaur. I've got Cthulhu, who is a probably fictional character out of H.P. Lovecraft. It's referred to as one of the great old ones. It's part octopus, part human, part dragon. In Greek mythology, they have something called a hippocamp. This is basically a seahorse, but not in the way that we think of seahorse. It's like a horse that lives in the sea more so than a seahorse, like a size and shape. And it looks like a terrestrial horse, but in the water. In Japanese folklore, they have a water sprite called a kappa. Sometimes it's hairy and ugly, kind of looks like a really weird, decrepit, mutant ninja turtle, I guess, in some pictures that I've seen. In Greek mythology, you've got the kraken, which is sometimes referred to as the giant squid. You've got in Irish, Icelandic, and Scottish folklore, there's something called selkies. So it's interesting that all across these cultures, they believe in this one thing. So what it is, when it's in the water, it's a seal, and when it comes on land, it turns into human. So it's kind of like the Little Mermaid, but it can actually go on land. I guess it's kind of like a reverse werewolf, where it's like a human on land, and then it turns into a seal in the sea, too. I think it mostly lives in the sea, though. And then you've got sirens, which you've seen in Greek mythology, and it's also the thing that's on the Starbucks coffee cup, I think. And these are sea-dwelling singers. They sing deadly songs that lure sailors to their death. And yeah, I think that's in like Homer's Odyssey or one of those old Greek legend things. And we've got the Hydra. This is another monster from the ancient world. It's a many-headed water serpent that was killed by Hercules. But killing it is difficult because when you cut off one head, two more comes in its place. And then each head has a poisonous breath to it. That one I probably am not so inclined to believe that there's any creature out there that can regrow two heads every time that you cut one off, especially like instantly. But yeah, that's a thing. So what are some logical explanations that might be able to explain what these sea monsters actually are? So one that I've heard for the Loch Ness Monster is giant eels, which I don't know if that makes me feel any better than the fact that there's a Loch Ness Monster. I forget if there's any photo evidence of these giant eels or not, but yeah, if there's like 20-foot giant eels. I'm still not going to go swimming in the Loch Ness. Sorry. Anything that's like a snake or an eel just creeps me out if it doesn't have legs or arms, basically. Another, probably one of the more compelling suggestions is that the sea monsters, when they wash up on the beach at least, that it's partially decomposed animals that wash up. Because normally it's stuff that washes up and people don't know what it is, and it kind of looks like it could be a weird sea monster or something, but that's just because it's like rotting basically and not the shape that it would normally look at. Some people who think they're seeing sea monsters, it could just be that they're seeing waves. There's certain kinds of waves that crest and like have like the, where they have like the white foam and stuff on them. It could be something like that, and it just makes a pattern that looks like a sea monster. It could be floating wood, whales. You'd think that sailors and stuff, though, they would be more familiar with what whales look like, but if I guess if you're just like an average person. And then there's a couple of natural things that animals do that can look really weird. So baleen whales do this thing called skimming, where they swim with their jaw out of the water. So the baleen whale, if you don't know what that is, it's basically, baleen is what's in a whale's mouth, but this one, I guess, it's just like so prominent that it's actually named the baleen whale. I don't know, but they have this big like filter in their mouth that scoops all the plankton and stuff out of the water, and I guess probably catches small fish and like shrimp and stuff too. So they skim along the top of the water, so you just see that sticking out, and you wouldn't like be able to recognize what that is normally, so it'd be weird. And I can see how you'd see that as a sea monster. And sea lions as well, they do this thing called sailing, where they will swim with one flipper out of the water, so the whole seal is underwater and they just have like one flipper sitting up. So I guess that could look like a sea monster. That doesn't really describe how most sea monsters look though, with like the long neck and then a head at the end. So I don't know, that to me just sounds like I would mistake that for like a shark fin or something, I would think. But yeah, that's about all about sea monsters that I got for you today. Thanks for listening. The show notes are on our website, like always, at secretranch.com. And you can get links to all of the different places where you can find the show. We're on all the podcasting apps, as well as video versions of the podcast are available on YouTube, BitChute, Odyssey, Rumble. I think that's about it. So in the next episode, I'm going to be talking about Skinwalker Ranch. And be sure to subscribe to the podcast. It's totally free, and that way you get notified as soon as a new episode comes out. Usually there's like a little follow or subscribe button on whatever platform you're using. Until then, I'll see you next time. We'll be in touch.